This is the podcast Serbia Pop Culture Effect, episode 11. Welcome to another fine week of the podcast Serbia Pop Culture Effect. I'm Brian, and joining me this week is Sam, as if anyone else would join me this week.
This week.
Dave always liked that on the other show, I would say. And joining me this week is Dave, as if I would actually have another host. So this week we will don't have a specific topic. We're going to do some kind of free, random, floating thoughts and ideas. We're going to kind of tear through just stuff coming up this summer, pop culture topics of today, and just have some random conversation and see where it takes us. That's something we like to do once in a while. This is stuff we usually do when we're not recording, so we figure, why not? Let's record it this time.
I bet you all are really excited.
You are excited. Right? Now, again, we're recording this show in 2015, just before July, and probably some of this stuff will be dated when you're listening to it in 2020. But you could also look at it as nostalgic, being that we're recording it on a Thursday. Let's just consider this a throwback Thursday event. So. Okay. The first thing, actually, I wanted to go through was just some of the movies that were coming out soon, because I can't avoid just stupid films that are coming out. And one of them that I actually saw a trailer for recently that I'm tired of horror films, because all they seem to be doing is just, all horror films now are just this shock thing. Let's put four kids in a building in a house.
I know which movie you're talking about.
The Gallows is coming out, and it's just, I'm watching. I'm like, oh, this could be scary. And then I realize, oh, it's just like every other film. 20 years, I'm reading IMDb. 20 years after a horrific accident during a small town school play, students at the school resurrect the failed show in a misguided attempt to honor the anniversary of the tragedy, but soon discover. Yes, they soon discover that some things are better left alone. I mean, this is like, I Know What You Did Last Summer, but I Know What You Did 20 years ago. This is, you know, it just looked dumb. I was watching the trailer. I'm like, oh, this could be cool. No, it's getting dumb. Oh, it's dumb.
So I don't know which trailer you saw, but one of the trailers I saw opened with talk of, you know, Jason was an iconic character and Michael Myers was an iconic character. So it's like calling back all these iconic characters. And now they're like, Charlie is the new iconic character for this generation.
Oh, God. Really? And is that the trailer?
Yes. Yes. And they named their person Charlie, their horrible supernatural killer.
So
I don't know anything more about it, but that blew me away. And, like, we're inventing ourselves as awesome just because we say so.
We haven't released our first film, and we're creating an iconic character. It takes that special movie, one, to be iconic, too. If you're going to have that character that lives on, it takes several films to do it. I mean, Jason, Freddy, and Mike Myers are iconic because they keep coming back. Gallows Charlie ain't coming back.
Well, let's not count them out quite so soon.
Oh, God. Yeah,
there's a lot of series that should have died and kept going.
I mean, yeah. If you're going to pick the most recent iconic horror thriller character in the last several years, the only thing I can think of is Jigsaw from Saw. There's no real other iconic bad guy like that I can think of in recent films.
No, but there's been the franchises, like all the paranormal.
Oh, yeah.
Insidious and all that. So that to me is the current horror movie trend. Is these
right? Let's take some Japanese film that was really good and make it an American, trilogy or movie series.
They're still doing the found footage thing, right?
Oh, that'll never end. And you harken back to the early found footage movies, and I'm sure there's many long before this, but just going back to Blair Witch, when that's kind of like the first when this series of them all started. That was great. And then they become ludicrous, in my opinion. The found footage that I liked about Blair Witch was that it at least had the feeling that it was found footage. The others are like, you wouldn't really be holding your camera right now type moments in these other movies.
Oh, Who is holding the camera right now? Because all the characters are in frame.
Yeah, I'm in bed. I'm asleep. I hear my wife scream downstairs. Let me grab the camera and go check to make sure she's okay. No. See, that's what makes it ludicrous. It's just...
It's the YouTube generation, man.
Exactly. Right.
I can't walk around the house without carrying my camera with me.
You do. You're always recording. You got your GoPro and you're all set.
While I'm in the shower, I know you want this.
So... Like I said, I was just skimming through movies that are coming out, and I stumbled upon that one because I'd seen the trailer recently, and I knew I had to talk about that one. There's a bunch of other garbage coming out this summer that, you know, will either do well, you know, financially. I mean, Jurassic World just came out and did great money-wise. Terminator probably will do fine. We all are going to see Magic Mike XXL. I know that. So that.
You're looking at the same list I am. So just I want to talk for, like, 30 seconds about Genesis.
Please.
Where do we think about this series still happening?
You know, I actually kind of like the idea that they're taking. They're taking an approach that I don't. It is silly though with the way that they keep Skynet keeps sending somebody back and doesn't quite figure out the right way to do it or to. Figure out a way to, can we send somebody back to kill John Connor or his mother without letting future John Connor and his mother or whoever know this? You know, is it always obvious that we're going back and then they know exactly what time they're going back so they can go back and stop it? I actually kind of like this one where it's kind of rebooting the timeline in a sense. It's going back to a certain point in the timeline and then arcing it off into its own little storyline. It's
like a alternate version.
Yeah, kind of like how Star Trek did when they kind of rebooted the timeline.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's going to do that. They'll I guess kill off Arnold's Terminator in this one, but maybe create a future Terminator.
They're already really good at recreating young Arnold, right? Or I don't know if they're good, but they're certainly this is their second time doing it.
Yeah. I do like that this one looks old Arnold.
The ability.
But they're playing him off as old Arnold, like the Terminators. They figured out a way to make him look older, so he would blend in, since he's still around, even though he's there protecting. It does look kind of cool. I will see the movie. I'll enjoy it. It's going to do terribly, I think, reviews wise, but financially, it's going to make money.
It's one of these old franchises coming back that everyone thinks it. That there's no way it could do well, so they're just going to ensure it doesn't do well.
But that's what I thought was going to happen with Jurassic World. And that thing, like, broke every, like, movie record in the first day. I mean, it made, like, what, $500 million in the first day? There are movies that have never made that and that were considered really good and, you know, blockbuster hits. And
I think people wanted another Jurassic Park movie. I'm not sure people wanted another Terminator. I mean, I don't think people didn't want Terminator Salvation either.
True.
When that came out, they were like, why are we still doing this?
Those Terminators, yes. See, I was fine with the...
Because 3 just broke everything.
The Rise of the Machines?
Yeah, I think so.
I was actually fine with that kind of completing a trilogy. And then we just call it quits. I was okay with that. When they started to do the... Well, now we... they did the Sarah Connor Chronicles show, and then they do the thing...
Which was good.
Right. Then they do the thing with the Salvation with... Well, what's the future look like? Because obviously, you know, we miss Skynet taking over in 1997.
Things that never happened. And yet Skynet is still alive and well, clearly by the trailers.
Right. Well, because each time something changes, something else, you know, the timeline gets altered. You know, it's inevitability is what these movies are trying to tell you. Skynet's going to happen. It keeps sending things back to try to stop the future and in a sense delaying itself from happening. But it hasn't prevented itself from happening yet. I don't know. It's like arguing Star Trek. I mean, we're arguing, you know, fantasy sci-fi, you know, timelines, and it's one of those things that you almost have to accept in order to just allow the movie to happen and enjoy it. Because if you get too bent out of shape over the timelines, you're going to kill yourself.
And that's what I'll do. I'll go in and just look to enjoy it for what it is. Right. But I was really irritated by them giving away the twist in the trailers.
About
John Connor.
I agree.
That was horrific.
Yeah, I think
it's a war crime.
Well, sadly, that's actually common nowadays. You'll get your teaser trailer, but then when they decide, okay, we got to give a full trailer now, you just kind of you know,
blow your wad right
blow
there.
Your wad. I was trying not to say that, but you just blow your wad on the entire movie. And, you know, I felt like Jurassic World pretty much did that in a sense. I felt that, you know, there's a lot of movies that do that nowadays. You leave me in suspense, you know, because if you show me too much in the trailer, then I know when I'm seeing the movie, I'm waiting for that to happen.
Yeah.
Or, like, if a character's in peril early, but I know I've seen scenes where he's not in peril later, you know, you're killing it for me. So I try not to get too much into the trailers. But at the same time, I'm also kind of intrigued to see them, to see, you know, what kind of emotion they'll evoke. You know, I got to go see this, or, yeah, I'll wait till video.
It's like the movie's never going to be as good as the trailers.
They're not anymore.
We are so emotionally manipulated by the trailers that the movies can never live up to it anymore.
Although there have been times where I've seen trailers that have just made me think, like, oh, finally. Like, I remember the first Lord of the Rings trailer, which was a couple years before the movie even came out. And it was like, oh, this is going to be so awesome. I've never seen anything like this, that you were seeing the forced camera perspective, but it worked. And you had all the characters there, and you see the Fellowship walking over the mountain. And it's just, it was awesome. And the first, but example to what you said, the first Phantom Menace trailer was quite incredible.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh man, what's that? Or who's that guy? Because we had
no
idea.
Getting tingles. Yeah.
And then the movie comes out and we're like, oh, Jar Jar. Jar Jar.
this is my head hitting.
Yes. So, you know, they didn't warn us in the preview, and I think that was smart, because I think if they warned us in the preview about Jar Jar, we might not have gone to see this.
This is happening, everyone. Heads up.
So, yeah. So I don't know, other films coming out. We've done on the various podcasts, you know, looking forward to summer. With the various shows or movies that are coming out. Anything that's coming out that you're excited about? I mean, I think Fantastic Four is going to be awful. And I actually am probably one of the two people on Earth that actually enjoyed the other ones. Like me and Stan Lee were the only ones that liked them.
I won't say I enjoyed the other ones. I tried.
The first one was better than the second one. But I didn't hate it, and I've even watched them recently. I'm like, I don't hate the movie. It could be better, but I think all the comic movies could be better. They're usually just eye candy than good story. They're horribly predictable, and there's nothing, you know, wonderfully exciting about it. It's just eye candy, and you get to see your favorite comic book characters. But this one, like, they're taking some liberties that are kind of scaring a lot of the...
They're all 14 or something?
Are they that young? I think they're a little older.
It seems like they're all... really obnoxiously young. Like, okay, this guy's a huge brainiac scientist, and he looks about 22, maybe 25 tops. And then the other ones all look younger.
Well, and that's what I felt about the other one. It actually,
but they're all supposed to be these, like, well entrenched, well known. Well, I guess they're an unknown scientist in a way. It's different, a bit different.
I guess. I mean, what I like the other movies is because they actually, I thought they nailed the characters in the what the ages.
Character.
Yeah, I think they nailed that. They just had weak stories. You know, the second one was weak. The first one was fine, but it was the whole thing was a character introduction, and, you know, not enough.
So was it weird that I thought Jessica Alba was the worst part of this movie?
Yeah, I was about to say not enough Jessica Alba, but not enough in a certain way.
I know the way you're speaking of.
There was too much Jessica Alba when she was trying to have meaningful, you know, relationship conversations, because it just felt like a movie she would be doing with Dane Cook. But
I didn't buy it.
Yeah, I
couldn't buy her as that character at all. As much as I liked watching her.
Agreed, yeah. I didn't buy her as that character, and I didn't buy their relationship.
And everyone else fit. Like, they all...
Oh, yeah, yeah,
all
yeah.
The other casting.
I mean, Chris Evans... People actually do forget Chris Evans was... Johnny Storm. So... People forget, like, we were watching it again recently, and my daughter was like, why is Captain America in this? I'm like, so she picked up on it. I'm like, yes, he played two superheroes. It did break rules when he became Captain America. You can't be another superhero. But, yeah, I'm... I don't know if I'm excited about that one coming out. Again, it'll be something I'll see. I'm not running out to go see it, but I will see it. And
yeah.
It'll be fine. Like I said, it'll be visually entertaining. My expectation is the story will suck as well, and that'll be it. They are making the Jungle Book? Where did I miss this?
Two live-action Jungle Books are coming out.
Wait, two?
From different directors.
What the heck? Jon Favreau?
Yes. From Iron Man. Of Iron Man.
Of lots of things. When Jon Favreau has become of Iron Man, it's sad that's what he's going to be associated with, because he's pretty good in a lot of other things. Anyway.
Swingers? He was Swingers.
Yeah. Right?
That was like my introduction to him.
But starring, okay, Scarlett Johansson, Idris Elba, Bill Murray, and Ben Kingsley, okay.
Sorry.
Unless, who's Mowgli? Because it's none of them.
this person we turned up, or he's like 40 years old, and
yeah, it's probably.
I have heard an interview with Jon Favreau when he talked about it, and he is really passionate about it. And he wants to do he's trying to do a version that is really similar to the book.
Okay,
so it's much darker.
Not Disney's
version.
Okay,
I don't know much more than that.
Now, is Disney doing this one? Disney, I'm sure, is producing one of these.
Yeah, and I'm hoping I'm right that there's another one as well.
Mowgli is Neil Sethi.
From what do we know him from?
Diwali. That's the only other thing he did, a short film. So that's it. Christopher Walken is King Louie.
Yeah, so there's a
Ben Kingsley is Bagheera.
And
Bill Murray's Baloo, Idris Elba, Shere Khan. They're all voices. So this is live action, but they're all doing voices? This has to be animated.
Or CG animated.
Right, in that sense. Because everybody listed in the
credits. Nobody hand animates anything anymore.
Well, everybody. Oh, well, yeah, you're right. I mean, everybody listed in the credits that is a voice is one of the animal characters, so they're...
Oh, okay. Right. Obviously, that wouldn't be a real live
right.
human.
Right. Okay. All right, I'm out of here. So, that sounds interesting. And this is October 9th, but then it says 2016. That just doesn't make sense. So it'll come out eventually.
There's a 2017.
So there's another one as well. So lots.
Jim Dale, Benedict Cumberbatch, Cate Blanchett. I mean, it's like another crazy-ass casting. Doesn't make any sense.
So, November will be a good month. We're out of the summer because, you know, summer's done.
Go back.
Go back. I got to go back.
Selfless.
Selfless.
Which reminds me a whole lot of this little movie you may have heard of called Free Jack.
Yes. Where am I?
With Ben Kingsley.
Okay.
It comes out like this Friday, next week.
Oh, so this is soon. Okay. So Selfless. Ah, Selfless. Okay. Extremely wealthy man dying from cancer undergoes a radical medical procedure. It transfers his consciousness into the body of a healthy young man. This is a book. this is a Tales from the Crypt episode.
it's a lot of things.
So Ben Kingsley's going to get put into Ryan Reynolds. Well, there goes my fan fiction.
Now, just coincidentally, I've seen a couple of movies with Ryan Reynolds, like, over the weekend, like, on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they were serious parts, and I was really surprised. Like, he totally pulls it off. Like, I think we, as a world, give Ryan Reynolds a lot of shit because he's kind of playing those goofy characters.
I've seen him in some straight roles. He's pretty good.
But he's done some straight roles, and he's pretty good.
Yeah, he kind of knows what he's doing.
I'll give him a little credit. He's kind of okay.
He's all right. I like him. He's actually very versatile because he can do the stupid, campy, just slapstick movie and be great at that. He can do, you know, he has his style in certain movies, kind of like how Matt Damon has a style or Wahlberg has a style. You know, there's the Ryan Reynolds style. But then he can get out of that shell and certainly have films where he's playing something quite good. So, Yeah, that'll be interesting. We'll see him play Ben Kingsley.
Oh, yeah. That will be interesting.
Okay. So I got to jump way ahead.
We can move on.
I got to jump way ahead to movie.
You want to talk about Ant-Man?
No. So that might be the one. I might have to see it because they'll probably sneak him into.
They were going to do that.
They're going to sneak him into an Avengers movie at some point, so I'm going to have to see it.
Yeah, just to have the background on what the F is going on here.
Right, but, I mean, it's Paul Rudd. Enough said. Enough
okay.
Said. I mean, where's Jennifer Aniston? I mean, there should be a movie. You know, this is supposed to be some stupid romantic comedy, not Ant-Man. I hate Paul Rudd.
Enough said.
Spectre. Okay, we're moving ahead down
the
road.
Wow, talk about jumping ahead.
I just got to jump ahead. There's nothing else in between.
I mean, there's nothing, like, there's Pixels.
God, Pixels. I am so done with Adam Sandler and his crew that are doing movies.
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, but they're bringing in Peter Dinklage when Peter Dinklage is being brought into a movie for star power, you know you have a problem. No offense to him, but when Adam Sandler realizes he can't carry his own movie because people think about him the way I do, he's like, but I brought Peter Dinklage in. You know, we get to kick around a little man for a while. You know, and he's cool because, you know, great show. Oh, God, there's so much coming on. All right, so what else do you got? You got some stuff that you want to talk about.
There's another... more movies or just...
Go for it. Whatever you got.
So just quick thoughts. So there's the Vatican tapes coming out.
Okay. Is that another Tom Hanks?
And it's another like woman possessed.
Oh, okay.
There have been so many of these possession movies. Like I don't understand the attraction.
So it's like an exorcism movie type thing?
A priest and two Vatican exorcists must do battle with an ancient satanic force to save the soul of a young woman.
I mean,
have we ever heard anything like that before?
Yes.
A lot. Like every other year or so, there's another of these types of movies.
Yeah, you have your The Conjurings, and because there's a sequel for that coming out. There was Possession there. They had the spinoff of the stupid doll with Annabelle. Actually, possession stuff I like. The religious possessions and things based on that. Those actually I enjoy because I don't know why. I find those cool because there's something eerie about them versus like a slasher film where it just that seems surreal and over the top. You know, the idea of, you know, when you're turning off the lights in your house and you're, you know, walking up to your room and you could turn around and see that possessed demon girl in the white nightgown. I don't know why every movie has one of those.
Like every shot in those movies has been done before.
Yeah. Oh, God, The Grudge, The Ring.
I feel
like
every trailer could be lined up side by side. Yeah. And it would just be the same thing.
What was it? It was like The Grudge, The Ring, and all those. They all had the girl in the white...
The drowned Japanese
dead girl in the white nightgown. That walks in a rigid Mr. Roboto sort of way towards you, and you can't get away from her for some reason.
Right.
Because she can crawl upside down on the ceiling with her head backwards.
100 times creepier than Michael Myers or Jason.
That's what I mean. That stuff's kind of creepy. And I think the religious possession stuff is still kind of creepy. Michael Myers and Jason, that's ludicrous. And, you know, I'm not expecting Michael Myers to show up, you know, in my house. But, you know, Demon Girl will one day, because that's how I would probably go. So what else do we have? God, there's so much. Okay, well, Vacation. So, the Griswolds are back in Vacation.
Huh?
But this time, it's the kids now are all grown up, and they're going to take their families to Wally World. And I guess there's cameos in there with Chevy Chase, which I'm happy about, and it'll probably be the only part of the movie I'll enjoy. But Chris Hemsworth is the husband of Audrey. And, who's the guy that's...
Christina Applegate.
I know, she's the wife of of what's her name, Rusty by Ed Helms. So
okay.
So it's it'll be good times, and then it'll be terrible. Its budget's probably $38 million, and it'll make 13. You know, it's going to be one of those films, I think. I think that ship has sailed. And there won't be enough Chevy Chase, is really why that ship has sailed. But have you seen Beverly D'Angelo in the stills? She looks horrifying.
No. Do I want to be damaged?
She does look quite horrifying. Chevy Chase just looks like old Chevy Chase, but
she's the mom?
Yeah. The second picture on IMDb of 4, she looks like Stifler's.
It's possible she had some work done.
She looks like Stifler's mom. I mean,
oh, that's right. I see it.
Like, Chevy Chase looks like old Chevy Chase, and he's letting it go, and God love him, but yeah. She's done.
I'm not gonna spend any energy on that.
There's no defending that. Let's move on. Sequel to Crimson Tide is Crimson Peak. I don't know what the hell is that movie. Guillermo del Toro.
But I am looking forward to that a lot.
Yes, aftermath of a family tragedy, all hell breaks loose, and somebody possesses somebody, and blah blah blah. It's Guillermo del Toro. So enjoy.
Well, it's also H.P. Lovecraft.
Is it?
I'm excited to...
Well, that could be interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited to see...
Tom Hiddleston's in it. Jessica Chastain's in it.
It's like a whole bunch of scary people. Mia Wasikowski. She's not scary. She's great.
But she plays well on TV. So. Interesting. That actually could be fun. That'll be around the right time of year in Halloween season, so... And then, of course, right on Friday the 13th will be Friday the 13th. Oh, God, it's back.
Really?
Yes. The return of legendary mass murderer Jason Voorhees in the new Friday the 13th. November.
Okay. I thought it would have to be October, right?
No, because they're putting it on Friday the 13th. It really doesn't have to be in October. Oh, God, and then Mockingjay Part 2. You know, it feels like 6 years since I saw Mockingjay Part 1, and it hasn't been a year. I'm so ready for that series to be over.
I can't believe you completely skipped over Gem and the Holograms.
I did skip over Gem and the Holograms.
Well, as soon as you did that, you're like, Sam's going to bring it back.
I know, I did. I did. I was trying to get to the Peanuts movie. So
making a stretch.
So Gem and the Holograms.
A beloved cartoon from childhood.
What is this, like Josie and the Pussycats? What is this? As a small town girl catapults from underground video sensation to global, God, it's like Hannah Montana.
Yeah, and like I've seen a trailer in the theaters, and
well, it's Stephanie Scott. She's a Disney Channel alum. So.
It's interesting to me how they modernize something. You know, I don't know if you remember.
Oh, I was aware of this movie, yeah, because there's yeah, okay.
But now it's like a, you know, someone who played stuff on YouTube type of thing and becomes famous, which is something that all the kids today are familiar with.
Yeah, it's like people that want to, you know, try to be, you know, radio DJs or, you know, talk show guys and end up just doing podcasts.
I don't
understand
what you're talking about. I think the danger here is that topic like that, like basing your movie on that, it will become so dated in 5 years.
Oh, absolutely.
It'll be unwatchable because everyone's going to go, YouTube. People did that back then.
I remember those days. Throwback Thursday. So, all right, so Stephanie Scott is in it, and that's it. Haley Kayoko, she was in Lemonade Mouth, one of my daughter's favorite movies.
Of course you know that.
I wouldn't know. I know all my Disney Channel. I have a young daughter. I know most of who's on Disney Channel because that channel seems to be on like 24/7 in my house. But for the dads, Juliette Lewis and Molly Ringwald are in this movie, so we can have that while our kids have the young kids. So
that's a fair trade-off.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Oh, God. Molly Ringwald has...
I mean, to be fair, it's not a movie for us.
No. And they did pick Molly Ringwald and Juliette Lewis, who I don't think have aged well.
That's true.
I'm not sure they aged then. All right.
So you want to go to Spectre? It's instead of jumping to the
end. Yeah, we might as well just go to Spectre now, unless Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse is something
that
we need to talk about.
I hadn't heard of it.
I'm not sure I could talk about it. So, Spectre, I love James Bond. I was in the process of watching through them straight through from the first to the last when they were available on streaming, and I didn't finish, so I'm hoping they come back on streaming again. Seems like Encore Network or something like that will do that a couple times a year. They'll throw all the Bond movies on demand. But with the Daniel Craig Bonds, I mean, these are kind of like a reboot, whereas the other ones were trying to just, you know, say Day in the Life of Bond, and it was just, you know, one story after another. These kind of rebooted. And Spectre, you know, hasn't been around in years in Bond lore, mainly due to ownership rights. One of the Ian Fleming didn't own, or his estate didn't own the rights to the Spectre storylines. This other guy did, and that has all since been resolved because everybody's dead by now, and now it's time just to make good film. So Christopher Waltz is in it, and Christoph Waltz is in it, and he will play the lead bad guy who, you know, they've given him a name in the credits that is a name that I don't think anybody knows, but we're all hoping it would be somebody else. So, but it should be good. I'm excited. Monica Bellucci is a Bond girl, oldest Bond girl ever. And there's nothing wrong with that. She was on a top 10 list of mine at one point. And I think because of Sorcerer's Apprentice. So, but I'm excited. Are you a Bond person?
Yeah, I mean, I think like most dudes of an age, grew up with it. I mean, it's my father, like, sat me down to watch these movies.
Right.
And I don't have very clear memories, but you know, it had a certain mystical place my consciousness.
Sure.
And now when I go back and watch those movies, I am so embarrassed for everything.
Oh my God, some of them are so rotten. I mean,
so horrible. And I say it with love.
Oh yes. Yes, From Russia with Love. They hold up in some sense, but then in some other ways they don't.
Like in any moral sense.
Right. Especially Connery's Bond was an absolute rapist. There was nothing right about what he was doing, but apparently that's how movies were made then, and that's how leading men were perceived, but he was just wrong. Yeah, Roger Moore was fun, but then you had, well, Timothy Dalton was brief.
It's
and
funny
then,
how I appreciated, or I liked Roger Moore more than Connery. My dad was totally into Connery, but because I grew up with Roger Moore.
That's who I grew up
with.
At
first, yep. That's who I thought Bond was.
Roger Moore was always my favorite. I enjoyed him more, and having watched through them, I got through Connery and Moore. I didn't make it to Dalton. That's where I was going next. I made it through all the way through Roger Moore. I enjoyed his Bond movies more. I thought they were better. I did like the Spectre stuff better, which was more in the. Well, it was kind of a overlap between the two, but so that's why I'm kind of excited about this movie. I do like that. Organization that is all about taking over the world. You know, the Austin Powers movies were completely ripping off that, and that's what was good about it. When the Spectre storyline fell off, they had just these one-off bad guys each movie. There was no kind of carryover. There was no story arc that the other movies had because of this ongoing battle against Spectre, and that's what I liked about that. So. Bringing that back and hopefully creating some arc, but I'm trying to remember. This might be one of the last two for Daniel Craig. I think he wasn't slated to do many, and honestly, he's starting to get old, and they're starting to look at who will be the next Bond. I know they're not trying to keep these guys for 7-8 films anymore like they did before.
I will say that I really love the Daniel Craig Bond movies more than any of the others.
They're different.
Even the not so good was the middle one.
Where's Casino Royale?
Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace and then Skyfall.
Like, even Quantum of Solace was I thought it was pretty good.
I think they're all fine, and I do like it. I feel that they're a little edgier. They kind of almost have a, you know, Jason Bourne type feel to them in a sense. They don't feel like the classic spy movie, but each Bond had a different type of role. You had like the assassin Bond and your spy Bond. You know, each Bond was a little different. And the Daniel Craig one is like the assassin kind of Bond more than super spy. I would think that's my feelings on him. It's a little more of an action movie, even though all the movies had their sense of action. Some of them just had ridiculousness scenes, you know, like a 45-minute boat chase. You know, they just not quite sure what was happening. They didn't have much of a script, so let's chase each other in a boat for an hour. And that was an action sequence. You know, the Craig movies structurally were better, but they're also pretty long.
Yeah, but they're well put together. They're not filled with crazy stuff that doesn't make any sense.
It's not endless fluff. And the movie's
got a bit of a moral balance to it.
Yeah. And there's a little more character discovery and development with the Bond character that you didn't really get before, because you just knew who Bond was. He was a womanizer and he was what he was. He liked his, you know, martini shaking that stirred, and that's it. There wasn't really development into his history, into his character, unless you needed it for the bad guy development. It's like, oh, this is Bond's best friend who he's been working with at the agency for his entire life, although this is going to be the first movie, you know, we're going to see him in. And, oh, he's dead. No, he's not dead. He's his enemy. Yeah, that's kind of, yeah. Sean Bean did not die in this scene. That's what you have. But I'm excited. That's actually, honestly, because I don't get to the movie theaters that much. That might be the next movie I'll see, because I'm holding out for a few movies that I know I'm going to see in theaters. And because I'm going to be dragged to Mockingjay Part 2, I will be dragging somebody to see Spectre.
I'm looking forward to Mockingjay.
I mean, I am too, just to see it wrap up.
I want to see it end.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. It's kind of like, although, like, with Twilight, because I hate Twilight, I was so happy it ended. And I watched the first three just so I could say I watched them. But when it came around to that last two, the part one and two, I'm like, no, I'm just done. I'll read the Wikipedia summary of what happened in these. And I did that. And I'm like, wow, I saved myself about 5 hours of my life.
Just there.
Because of God, those were awful. No, I'm excited to see this Mockingjay thing end. And
I mean, of the sort of future dystopian movies mm-hmm. or series, I think this is probably one of the better.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, I'm looking forward to seeing one of these wrap up.
Yeah, should be pretty good. I mean, I haven't hated any of the movies. It just it doesn't quite get there for me at all times. So, and then, we've talked about Star Wars ad nauseum, and I think that's going to be a whole show. So, I'm just.
Were you actually going to say anything about the Peanuts movie?
Like, no.
I was like, do you care about this?
It'll be a movie that'll be seen. Because I have kids, so you know it's nice to get them to a film once in a while. But no, I'm not going to talk about it.
So
just kind of plowing through Star Wars Episode 7. Like I said, we've talked about that a couple of shows. We'll I'm sure talk about it more when we get closer. I got nothing about it now. And through the end of the year, another Mission Impossible that'll never end, and Kung Fu Panda 3. So there we go.
I was browsing around. IMDb a couple days ago and saw like the poster for Kung Fu Panda 3 and I couldn't believe like the second one was so unwatchable for me that
it was rough. You know, all of those films were rough, and DreamWorks actually does not make good sequels, even though their sequels are successful. Storyline wise, their sequels actually are really rough because they all of a sudden, the first movie has such charm and it's great and it's quirky and funny. But when they do the second movie, they feel now we need to develop the characters. We can't just have another fun, quirky story. That, I mean, that's what Pixar is good at is they just have a fun little sequel. You know, they might have some original
story.
Yeah, some other original story, but just kind of do their thing. But every single Pixar or DreamWorks movie in their sequels has tried to develop the characters. With Kung Fu Panda, it was, you know, delving into his background and to, you know, how he came to be. The Shrek movies, it was like marital advice. The Madagascar movies, it was, you know, same thing. It wasn't fun and quirky. It was learning about the origin stories. It's just they go too far in the second movies, and you lose your audience because the kids want to see the fun characters, and you're killing them. That's what I remember about Shrek 2. It's considered to be the most successful animated comedy of all time, or something like that, by earnings in the box office. And I remember watching, like, we weren't through the first 30 minutes, and I hadn't laughed. And I'm like, this is husband and wife fighting stuff. And it's just not fun. And I hate
it. It's that divorce drama that kids face at home. Like,
yeah.
This makes me cry.
That's what it was. And my parents had recently divorced, and I'm like, God, this really is a drag. So I just wasn't big into that. So I can't say, and they've done some third movies that I can't speak to, so I don't know. I do like the Kung Fu Panda characters, and I think it could be fun. We'll see.
Don't have any more to say on it.
We'll see. I know you brought it up, but yeah.
Well, just because, like, I didn't know it was happening.
I mean, I assumed it was. I mean, all these things are just money cow, you know, cash cows. They'll never. They'll never give up on any of them as long as they know they can make money on it. I think, like, they're finally done with the Ice Age movies, but they made that fourth one, which was an abomination. But the first three were actually pretty good. But that was Sony, I believe, not DreamWorks. But they made a fourth, and yeah, it was rough. Pixar's tinkering with maybe doing another Toy Story, so it might not be a bad thing. But they got a bunch of other sequels in the works, and this Inside Out movie is doing really well.
Yeah.
It's doing well amongst adults, which is actually impressive. And I know we're going to see it this week, and I'll probably do a quick little blip show about it to post and give my thoughts. Pixar for me has always hit a home run. I don't think they've put out a bad film yet.
There are Pixar movies that I did not see, like the Cars movies.
Cars movies are fun. The first one was fun, and the second one was just a complete different direction. It was a spy movie. It was a Bond movie. And it was just fun. It just had the same characters, but in a Bond film. And it actually is entertaining, the second one.
Sure. I can't deal with anthropomorphic vehicles. Sorry. It's like...
It's a nightmare.
But Kirby Goes Bananas or something. I mean, obviously that doesn't have a face, but even that much of a personified vehicle is just...
Wow. So
the only exception.
I was going to say we're not watching Christine.
Knight Rider.
So. Okay, Knight Rider. Well.
I can accept that. That was
it's like Darth Vader's bathroom. All right. So we're going to wrap this thing up, but we just basically tore through the rest of the year and the movies we're looking forward to and not looking forward to. And I'm sure there's a lot others. And I know there's a lot others because, oh, God, it looks like there's a Tina Fey movie. So go ahead and email us. Let us know what your thoughts are on things coming up and any of this you want us to discuss, movies you want us to see. We might actually make the time and do it. Our plans to respond to a request to do Goonies is coming up soon. So get ready for that. So you can email us pop@podcastderbia.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Twitter. Just look for Podcast Derbia there. Give us thoughts, feelings, ideas, big hugs. 5-star reviews on iTunes will be appreciated, but 1-star reviews will be read on the air. So that is it for me. I am Brian. He's Sam. You can check him out at, what's your Twitter again?
At Normally Who.
At Normally Who. Check him out there. See what he's got going on. All right. That'll be it. We will see you all next time.